lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 255, stanzas 1 and 4. Now, with joyful exultation, let us sing Jehovah's praise to the rock of our salvation. Loud hosannas let us raise, thankful tribute gladly bringing. Let us come before him now, and with psalms his praises singing, joyful in his presence bow. 1 and 4 of 255.
scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the book of Psalms and there of Psalm 2. But first, we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Almighty, most just, and also most long-suffering and gracious and merciful God, it is always a moment of great solemnity when the doors of thy house do go open in the beginning of each week, and when thou dost set aside a day that we may begin by bowing before thee, acknowledging our sinfulness, our wretchedness, our dependence, and acknowledging that thou art God, that thou art righteous, that thou art just, and that thou art mighty and powerful to give to us all that we stand in need of in thy mercy and in thy grace. And then it is an hour wherein we may be separated from all that is here below within the walls of thine house for a moment of meditation, for a moment to hear the preaching of thy holy word, the admonitions that thou dost give to us, the warnings, the comforts unto those that fear thy name, to draw our hearts from all this world, that they may desire and long for the blessed knowledge of thee, Oh, that we may realize continually the greatness of these hours, when we may be so near as it were unto thee, as near as we can come upon the face of this world, when we are together in thy house, where thou dost promise thyself to be, where two or three may be gathered together in thy name. Oh, may it be also in this hour that indeed we are so gathered, that there may be holy longings, Lord, in the hearts of thy dear children, that they may receive a little crumb from the Master's table, that they may be instructed upon their journey. They are a people that have nothing, and they are a people that are nothing. They are those that long and need everything to come from thee. They are in themselves so helpless, Lord. They have no strength, and they have no might. They have but guilt, they have but corruption, and it is all from their own side, all that is perishing, that thou may give to them a little crumb in this day, that thou may draw near unto them, and that thou may speak unto them, and that they may hear a voice behind them saying, this is the way, walk ye therein. It is the way of my dear and beloved and only begotten Son. It is a way of free and sovereign grace. It is the way of mercy. And you have not to fulfill it. And you have not to bring anything along with you. Bring with you your corruption. Bring with you your sin. Bring with you your guilt. And I will wash it all away for you. And I will cleanse you. And I will give unto you a heart of flesh. Oh, bring that people, Lord, with weeping and with supplications, that they may be given a little blessing, a little token of thy favor, of thy blessed communion. And Lord, thou knowest how many that there are and that are still walking for our own account. Oh, that thou wouldst then stop us in this day, that thou would come with the power, that mighty power of thy most Holy Spirit. For we indeed do imagine vain things, as we have heard at these moments out of thy word. Oh, how many vain things, things that are not true, things that are empty, empty hopes, empty expectations. Oh, we imagine that we have a long time yet in this world, but it is not true. We imagine that our righteousnesses are more than filthy rags, but it is not true. Oh, we imagine that we can cast away thy cords, thy bands, the boundaries of thy holy word and thy law and thy commandment, and that we can cast those cords from us. We imagine that we can be our own God. Oh, Lord, it is all so vain, and we need to have our eyes opened, to have our ears opened, and we need to have our heart opened, that it may be drawn, that we may not only be convicted, but that we may be convinced, O Lord, and that our hearts may be drawn to thee by thy goodness, that it may lead us to a true, to a blessed repentance, that we may hunger and that we may thirst after the blessed knowledge of our Maker and our Creator, and that we may be given to see that we have sinned against Thee. Lord, our eyes are so closed. Our ears are shut up. Oh, Thou knowest that we see all that is here below. We see what is physical, but we do not see what is spiritual. And we believe the men of this world, but we do not believe Thee. We do not believe Thy holy truth, but it is all coming to pass. O Lord, we beseech Thee, and that Thou wouldst convince men. May it be all over the length and breadth of this world. But we are also heathen, Lord, and Thou hast received them for Thine inheritance. We have Gentile hearts, and we are no better than any in this world. Oh, we are worse than the men of the world, because we hear Thy word as Sabbath after Sabbath day, and we read it day after day, and we bow our knees before Thee, but our hearts are untouched. Our souls are unaffected. Our affections, they go out after this world, and there is no excuse for us. Oh Lord, we beseech Thee then, do come with Thy Spirit, with Thy Holy Spirit, with Thy mighty, Thy powerful Spirit. Come unto us who have been brought up under Thy truth and who are in such great danger of perishing with the knowledge of Thy truth and landing in the lowest hell. O Lord, that our conscience would not burn with that worm that dieth not. To that great and ever-ending eternity. O Lord, the time is so short. With Thee, 1,000 years are as one day. For us, our life that is as an ever-rolling stream, as soon it is gone, as soon we give up the ghost, as soon we are laid in the grave, then, Lord, where is the hope of Him who is perished out of this world? But there is hope in this day. It is a day of grace, Lord. It is a day of salvation. To whom shall we go but unto Thee? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, we beseech it of Thee then. Come unto us, a valley of dead and of dry bones. How can they live, Lord? They can live with Thee. They can live by Thee, and by Thy Spirit, by Thy power, and by the resurrecting power of Thy Spirit. Do it for Thy name's sake. We do not deserve it. We, with the knowledge of the truth, and such a worldly and such a carnal heart, Lord, we have sinned it all away. Oh, look Thou upon Thy dear Son, and do work a revival in the midst of us. Amongst young and old, the youngest heart, the oldest heart, and all that is in between, are those of us who do take what does not belong to us. Lord, our hearts are so deceitful, above all things and desperately wicked. And what if we would now deceive ourselves and have to stand before Thee as those five foolish virgins with no oil in our lamps? O Lord, wilt Thou teach us and lead us into Thy truth? Come Thou and help us in all the need of our souls. Remember all the needy also in a physical and a mental way. For we are weak creatures because of our sin. It is all our own fault. And yet Thou art merciful unto the poor and unto the needy, a helper of the needy. And Thou art a shield for those who cannot protect themselves. And Lord, Thou wilt receive honor by it. Oh, that Thou may humble so our hearts, that we may be brought in the dust of self-abasement, when we may receive a little help from Thee in all the trials and in all the needs of this life, that goodness may so break our hard hearts, and that it may so melt our stony hearts, that we may be given to be bathed in tears before Thee in unworthiness, and that Thou mayest make it good for the need of our souls. Lord, remember all Thy truly sent servants. Thou knowest where they are all over the world. Wilt Thou help them, Lord? They have no strength. They have no wisdom. They have nothing. But Thou didst give it unto Thy disciples when they had nothing either. They had just to give it out, the bread and the fish. And Thou didst pray unto heaven. And Thou didst fill all the bodies. Oh, that Thou may remember in the days in which we live, that there may be new ones born in Zion. We may acknowledge Thee. And that Thou dost give also the candidate a place in the midst of us as a community. Oh, Lord, break our hard hearts therewith, and Thy great goodness over us, and that Thou may remember him and the congregation where he goes, and that Thou may make all things well, and that Thou may bless his ministry in that place, and bring it all to fruition in the months to come. Wilt Thou care for us and all the widows, widowers, orphans, handicapped, all that have difficulties, trials, and sorrows in the midst of families, and that blessed circle that Thou still maintainest, and give obedience unto parents by the children, and that they may honor father and mother, and give love between husbands and wives. Wilt Thou give help also in the instruction of children in the midst of our school, the teachers? Wilt Thou help when it comes now once again soon to its end for this season? Wilt Thou look upon all the needs of our government? Lord, wilt Thou give the tender fear of Thy name? Oh, blessed is that people whose God is the Lord. And we see it as an impossibility. But Lord, Thou art above it all, and Thou can make their hearts to bow before Thee. And wilt Thou look on us in mercy, and that Thou wouldst draw us again to that blessed law of Thee, that men may be given to see the great treasure there, and the blessedness of walking according to Thy word of truth. And that there may be a desire, therefore, to turn us away from all of our iniquity and to bring us again unto the footstool of Thee, who art the governor, who art the king, and that Thou hast set upon Thy holy hill of Zion. Help Thou us in this hour, Lord, be on our right and on our left, to give strength for our body, to give wisdom in our mind, to give love in our heart, and that Thou may give Thy Spirit in a rich measure, that it may be felt, that it may be believed, that it may be a going forth amongst us, from pew to pew and from heart to heart, to touch us with one of Thy fingers. And then we shall go different than we have come, and we shall bless Thy name for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 207, stanzas 1-4. God is known among His people. Every mouth His praises fill. From of old He hath established His abode on Zion's hill. There He broke the sword and arrow, bade the noise of war be still. 1-4 of Psalter 207. creation, the words of our text for this afternoon can be found in the book of Revelation, in the 6th chapter, in the verses 12 through 17. Revelation chapter 6, beginning at verse 12 to the end. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So far the words of our text. The opening of the sixth seal in two thoughts. First, the wrath of the Lamb, and second, the great day of his wrath. The opening of the sixth seal, first, the wrath of the Lamb, and second, the great day of his wrath. Thus, first, the wrath of the Lamb. Do those things fit together, congregation? The wrath of the Lamb. Do lambs get angry? Are lambs wrathful? Anger, of course, cannot really be in any animal because anger really has to do also with our intellect. So animals cannot really get angry. And sometimes we speak about an angry bull, but that is not really true anger. It is really something that belongs to his aggressive nature or character. So how is that now with a lamb? Is a lamb an aggressive animal like a bull, children? You say no. A lamb, he is the very picture, he is the very symbol of docility, to be docile, to be submissive, to be very gentle. That is the symbol even that we use a lamb for. So this expression, the wrath of the Lamb, is setting before us an antithesis, that is a contrast right in within and this very expression itself, that is a very, very unnatural thing to speak about the wrath of the Lamb. And we would say, if that were possible, that a lamb would be filled with wrath, that there must be some very, very special cause, that such an unnatural thing would happen. Moses was a very meek man, we read. But sometimes we read that Moses became angry. Thus there were very special circumstances. The wrath of the Lamb. And now who is represented by this lamb, children? You know now that it is the Lord Jesus that is represented by that lamb. Thus, the Lord Jesus. Does the Lord Jesus get angry? Do we read that anywhere in the Bible that the Lord Jesus becomes angry? Well, you say, well, how can that be? Is not anger a very sinful thing? How could the Lord Jesus become angry? Well, much of our anger is indeed a sinful thing. But not all anger is sinful, because we read that God himself is also angry. And thus, it cannot be that all anger is sinful. There is also a righteous anger. We read about Phinehas, and he took a javelin in his hand, and he put it through two persons. Why? Because of sin. And because their sin was affecting other persons also. Thus it was a righteous anger, and the Lord commended him for that righteous anger. Anger may be used by men to protect other persons. Anger may be used by men even to protect themselves. But there must be limits that are put upon men's anger. The Apostle Paul says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Thus, when that need to protect a fellow man may be from someone who is attacking him, and that we become angry at him, and that he attacks no more, and when that purpose is finished, then also that anger must cease. God is also angry. David says God is angry with the wicked every day. Is he also angry with us every day? But now we read here about the wrath of the Lamb. Thus we read about the wrath of the Lord Jesus himself. Do we read that anywhere in the Bible, that the Lord Jesus becomes angry? We do not read that so very much. And yet we do read it sometimes. We can read one time that he was in the temple. He was in the synagogue. He was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And we read that he is looking all around him, and he is looking around him with anger. He was grieved, we read, because of the hardness of their hearts. And why was that? At whom was that? That was the scribes. That was the Pharisees. And why was he angry at them? Because what they were doing to his truth, to the truth of his Father, concerning his Sabbath day, what they were making in their supposed piety of that Sabbath day, there was in them no mercy. There was in them no pity, that they were looking to accuse him if he would heal a man upon the Sabbath day. The wrath of the Lamb. Thus indeed, those things do fit together. This Lamb is very capable of great wrath, especially when you will touch the apple of his eye, especially when you will touch his own church. We have heard together in the past chapter here about the persecutions against his church. Or do you think that there can be anything else that is living in his heart when he is watching? Oh, he is not only watching, he is also guiding, he is also limiting, but there is anger in his heart against the persecutors of his people. But there is more. Because last week, we heard about Naboth, and we asked you, what is now living in your heart? When you read that about Naboth, and he is set on high, and he is wrongfully slain. Then we say, well, there is something living in our heart that is the same with all of us. We say that is, we feel that something is not right, that something has to be done, that there must be a justice for what has taken place. But that is not the only thing. There is also more. There is also another side. So let us think today about that Samaritan man. And he is walking, he is riding, walking along the way. And there he sees that Jewish man. And he is laying there in the street. And what does he do? He goes over to him. And he pours in oil and he pours in wine. And he sets him on his own beast. There's a Samaritan. There's a Samaritan and a Jew. Although they do not speak to one another. And he sets him on his own beast. And he brings him to an inn. And there he gives his own money. He says, take now care of him. And I will pay you whatever else you need when I return again. What is now living in your heart about that man? Think there is that is happening in the heart of every single one of us. There's something in our heart that draws us to that man. It is actually that selflessness, that self-sacrifice, that he is giving himself. Then there is something in our heart that says that man, he does what is right. He does what is good. There is something in our affections that draws us to him. That says, I would like to know that man. I would like to be a friend of that man. Can you help those feelings? Can you push now those feelings away? Do we not also feel that those feelings are actually obligatory? What if there was something in us that said, well, that is actually a man I do not like. I do not really like that man. I know him. And now he does that. Yes, there is something that draws me because of what he is doing. And then I am fighting against it because I do not like that man. And what do we feel? That is sinful. Then we are guilty. We feel guilt when we do that. Why? Because we have an obligation. We have an obligation to love that man. We have an obligation to be drawn in our heart unto him. Thus to lack those feelings, we feel that is ingratitude. We feel that that is sinful. The wrath of the Lamb, and not only of the Lamb of Christ himself, but we read here of him that sitteth upon the throne. Who is that? That is his Father. So there's a special relation between that Lamb and him that sits on the throne. That is it is a relation between the Father and the Son. Special relation. Do you have a son? Do you have feelings toward your son? Are they very strong feelings that you have toward your son? And what is against your son, that is against you. Much more so with God. He is not only his son, but he is the triune God. He is one in three, and he is three in one. And now here it speaks about the Father and the Son, and it speaks about the wrath of both the Father and the Son, and that Son is pictured here as a lamb. And that wrath that is pictured as being against all the enemies of that lamb. Thus that gospel has gone forth on that white horse to all the world. And that red horse and the black horse and the pale horse have gone after that white horse. And there is still a rejection. What is that rejection? What do we see here? It is a rejection of the Lamb. It is a rejection of a sacrifice. It is a rejection of the love of self-sacrifice. It's pictured here as a lamb. There is no greater love than that love. Greater love hath no man than this. Especially at being, we read, as that which is bestowed upon the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And yet, a rejection. Isaiah says that when we shall see him, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. That is what you are. That is what I am by nature. No beauty in him. And that congregation is serious. That is very serious. How serious is that? That is serious enough to make a lamb angry. It is serious enough to make the Lamb angry, to be full of wrath, who is meeker than Moses. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. And yet there is something that fills him with wrath. And his father, also filled with wrath. It speaks here about his face. The face of him that sitteth on the throne. Thus the anger and the wrath in the Father of the Son can be seen in his face. Because of the offense that is done unto his Son. That it is even so unnatural. That is not even the way that he has created mankind. Or what could be. What could be the cause? What possible cause could there be for such an unnatural rejection of self sacrificing love? How is that possible? There is only one way it is possible. And that is that there must be something that is active enmity against Isaiah says he is despised and he is rejected of men. Thus it is not true that we do not, that we only do not love him, but we hate him. We disdain him. We despise him. We reject him. You say, minister, you go too far. Now you go too far. I do not hate him. Do you love him? You say, I cannot really say that I love him. If I am honest. But neither do I hate him. I just have no feeling for him. How, congregation, could that be possible? How could that be possible? Self-sacrificing love draws the affections of men. Even in a natural way, when a man would so give himself, despite the sin of his fellow man, he is not only as the Jew, no, man is an opposer of him. For a man to give himself for his enemy, and that does not touch our heart, then there is no beauty in him, nothing in him that we should desire him? What could that enmity be that lives in our heart? An enmity against him that is so strong that it resists that natural inclination to love and to be drawn and to see beauty in one who gives himself in such a way. What could possibly be in us? I will tell you what that is. Do you know what that is, young people? That lamb is a testimony. He is a testimony. Before he says anything, before he even speaks. And what is he a testimony of? He is a testimony of our need for a sacrifice. Testimony of our need for a sacrifice. That means he is a testimony, a lamb, a testimony of our sin. Just the fact that he exists as a mediator to say that we have departed from the Lord. And that we cannot in such depravity return unto him again. Thus that lamb is to us a testimony of our guilt, of our corruption, of our pollution. Who of us likes to be told we are wrong? Who of us likes to be told that we are a sinful person? Who of us likes to be told that we are immoral? If we would say that to you, what would your feelings be to us? And when one of us will say, my brother, my sister, you live in a wrong way, in all even the love of his heart, what are our feelings to that man who is so honest with us? Do you know what our feelings inside are? We begin to hate him. Even the life of the righteous, before he says one word, is a testimony against the wicked. And he hates him. Just for his life. Why? Because every time he sees him, his conscience is speaking. And his life is condemning him. Lot was hated in Sodom. Because the life of Lot testified against Sodom. And we hate such persons. Oh, this lamb was also hated. Is hated. He testifies against us. Just being a lamb. Just being a sacrifice. And saying to us that we are sinful people. That we are guilty people. That we cannot stand before God without a mediator. You are unrighteous. You are a transgressor. We do not receive that testimony. No, it is not just that we do not receive that testimony. But we hate those who will give such a testimony. Because we do not want to acknowledge our own sin. We read that in the Bible. There was a prophet from Judah. And he went unto King Jeroboam. He's going to offer at that altar of Bethel. And he spoke. He spoke against that altar. And what does Jeroboam do? He puts out his hand. He says, lay hold on him. Lay hold on him. Oh, he hated him. Herodias hated John the Baptist. Why? Testified of her sin. She may not be the wife of Herod. That is what lives in us. Do you ever feel that? Pharisees, scribes, hated the Lord Jesus. Why? Spoke about their religion. Says your religion is not the true religion. It is all a pretended piety. And he told them what the true religion was. He brought to them truly what God's law was. And they hated him for it. That is no different congregation with us. The wrath of the Lamb. Is that now not a righteous wrath? Against such an unnatural lack of drawing of love. To him who sacrificed himself for sinners and for enemies. And all because of enmity in our heart. Because we will not acknowledge who that we are. Is he become our enemy? Because he tells us the truth. About ourselves, a truth that we refuse to acknowledge and to accept. then there can be nothing for us but wrath. Wrath from the Lamb and wrath seen on the face of Him that sitteth upon the throne. Let us sing. Psalter number 3, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Wherefore do the nations rage, and the people vainly dream that in triumph they can wage war against the King Supreme? And what follows? 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 3. First, the wrath of the Lamb. Second, the great day of His wrath. Why? Because we read, for the great day of His wrath is come. We have seen the evidences of His wrath. We have seen that in the red horse, in the black horse, in the pale horse. But here He's speaking about something more, speaking about something further. The great day of His wrath. So a special day, a great one. In those horses wherein there were judgments, there was also evidence of long suffering. Why? Because everything was not destroyed by those horses, but there was still some reprieve. There was still some sparing. But now we read about something that is universal. What do we read? And I beheld when He had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. So we have a description of the judgment that is proceeding from the wrath of the Lamb and Him that sitteth upon the throne. And what does that mean? Are then these things to be fulfilled in a literal way? Congregation, we read the same kind of language in many other places in the Bible, and it is not carried out in a literal way. Thus we see here symbolic language, and some even with interpretations in the Bible. So we read in Isaiah, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and then he says, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And what is that pointing to? What has happened then in the history? And we can read that it points to the Babylonian Empire and what the Lord is going to do to that nation. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. So the sun and the moon and the stars, they are very commonly referenced in prophetical speech. And they refer in prophetical speech to human governments with their power of influence in the world. Thus, when a government is overthrown, then the whole framework of society is thrown into a turmoil. How would that be if another nation, a communist nation, would war against Canada and topple all our government, federal, provincial, local governments? You say, well, then it is such a change, how can we describe that change? Well, the prophets describe such changes as if the sun and the moon were darkened, and the sky and the stars, and they were falling from the skies. The Pentecost. Peter quoted the prophet Joel, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And then Peter gave the interpretation of that. He said what that prophecy of Joel meant. Not that that would literally happen, but he says that is happening. He says, this is it. What you are now so surprised at here on the day of Pentecost, this is the fulfillment of what that prophet has spoken about. And what was now happening at that time? Well, that government of Satan himself, in that whole world, in all the heathen nations of the world, that whole government of Satan was ready to be overthrown and toppled. The nations are now going to begin to serve the Lord. The gospel is going to go out to those nations. They are going to be overcome. Christianity, the name of the Lord, that is going to go out to those nations. Men are going to bow from the east and from the west. They are going to come to that spiritual Jerusalem. Oh, as he approached and he ascended unto that hill Calvary, that Lamb has spoken. He says, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. How? By the Lamb. By that slaying of the Lamb. And out of the grave he has ascended. And he has ascended to sit on the right hand of glory. And we heard that he has taken that book out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne. And he has sent forth the horses. And so they are gone forth conquering and to conquer. And those that are waiting for judgment and justice, and they are quieted by him and they are given white robes, then patience is necessary because that time is long. But now, when that sixth seal is opened, then the Lord reveals unto John the final overthrow of that kingdom of Satan in this world. And he pictures that as the very heavens themselves being rolled together, just like a scroll is rolled up, one of the ancient books. And all the forces that are at enmity with Christ and with that Lamb of God, they are to be completely destroyed, so that the kingdoms of this world may become the kingdoms of our Lord, and that long delayed vengeance upon the proud enemies, the enemies of grace, the enemies of Christ, the enemies of his Father, the enemies of his church, that is now finally come in answer to the cries of those and souls that are beneath the altar, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Thus a description of the great consternation of the enemies of the Lord in the great day of that wrath of the Lamb. It is the consternation of great, it is the consternation of small, all the mighty men, all the kings, all that are in authority, but also the prisoners, also the servants, from great and small, high and low, that there will be a great fear, it says, seeking to hide themselves in the dens and in the holes of the rock. Oh, every enemy of that Lamb is going to see him. We read, every eye shall see him, also those that pierced him. And it says here in the Bible that they are going to beg. They are going to beg for something. What will they beg for? They would rather be crushed underneath the rocks of the mountains than to even see that face, the face of that angry Father of the Lamb who is sitting upon that throne. Oh, that will be the awful consequence of the final and the utter rejection of the dying love of the Son of God by this world, because that we are holding on to our own righteousness, and that we will not bow ourselves to confess that we have sinned against a holy and a righteous God, then there shall be nothing left anymore but despair, and utter, utter and unremitting despair, wishing that we could be annihilated, but such an annihilation that is never coming. Oh, in that day, in that great day, the strife of the church of God is going to cease. The strife that is inward, the strife that is outward, when everything that opposes that Lamb and His kingdom is fully put out of the way, and that people are delivered. Oh, it will be a revolution of this immoral world, and that will be greater than the revolution of the first world. And when the Lord delivered that first world from all the sin and the iniquity and the murder and that the Lord, that man had brought upon it, later on we read in, that he that sat upon the throne, he says, "Behold, I make all things new." And John saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth, they were passed away. And John saw that holy city, it was that whole, that new Jerusalem descending from heaven, from God, O congregation. We are so earthly. We are so worldly. Do you feel that? Is that now a burden to you? We were not created that way. And the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, no, he asked his Father not to take his disciples out of this world. He says, but keep them from the evil. We have to live in this world. But how do we live in this world? Because the apostle says to use this world, yes. But to use that world as not abusing it. Why? Because the fashion of this world passes away. And that is not just our clothing, girls and boys, men and women. Not just our clothing, that is part of it. But the fashion of this world, that is a word in the original, and that is actually the habitus, that is the everything wherein this world is appearing, and then including that which is inward. So there is an inward theme, as it were, in the world. Or that theme in the world, what is it? Who is the prince of this world? When you will go to the movies of this world, and when you will watch those movies, young people, then you are abusing this world. Use this world as not abusing it. Or what do we do when we involve ourselves in the spirit of the world? It is that spirit of the world, and that the Lord said he is going to take away. It is all going to perish. If that is all that we want in this world, is to have all what the world wants, then we can be absolutely sure that our heart is opposed unto this Lamb. Because this Lamb says that all those things are opposed to Him, and soon all of those things are going to be taken away. The world passes away and the lust thereof. Because everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, they are not of the Father. No, they are of the world. And we have proof of that when the Lord, He says, I am going to wrap it all up, and I am going to take that spirit of the world out of the world, and I am going to make a new heavens, and I am going to make a new earth. Congregation, when we stand there in that judgment, we are going to stand before the Lamb. We're going to stand before the Lamb. And when we see Him, we see that Lamb. Are we going to then see who we have rejected? And what we have rejected? Because of our pride? Because of our unwillingness to lower and to humble ourselves as those who have sinned against God. Oh, that Lamb is going to be a testimony of the love that we have despised, of the grace we have despised, of the mercy we have despised, because our sin never became sin. Oh, we are going to say, I never needed that Lamb in my life. And then how righteous and how just will that wrath of that Lamb be? Sin, congregation, is always someone else's. It is never our own. That is our fundamental fault. It is a soul-damning fault. It blinds our eyes to see the beauty of the Lamb. We can never see Him. We can never be drawn to that self-sacrificing Lamb. The love of God. We can never love Him if we do not acknowledge our own fault. Oh, pray. Pray that little prayer of that Highland kitchen maid. Oh, Lord, show me myself. Show me myself that I may see beauty in the Lamb. That my heart may be drawn to that Lamb in His self-sacrifice. Oh, that first true faith in Him that is not a faith that possesses Him, that is a faith that needs Him. That needs Him. And that sees beauty in Him. And suitability in Him. Why? Because of my sin. Oh, that we would not one of us stand in that great day to see the angry face of the Father of the Lamb and to cry out to hide ourselves from that face and from the wrath of the Lamb. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt Thou come with Thy Spirit? Wilt Thou speak, Lord, in the hearts of young and old? Wilt Thou awaken us? Wilt Thou quicken us from the dead? That we may acknowledge our sin. That we may cry for that Lamb. That we may see beauty in Him. And that we may need Him. Also for our own guilt. For our own pollution. dismiss us with an undeserved blessing, and care for us and the rest of this thy holy day. Give us to keep it holy, that we might learn to read, that we might learn to pray, to sing, and that we may not desecrate that blessed day that thou hast set aside, and that the need of our souls may be bound upon our hearts. Help us in the week to come, as spare each one in the midst of this world. Give us to use it as not abusing it, and cause us to flee from the wrath to come. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 83. All the stanzas, how blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. 1, 2, and 3 of 83.
Thank you.
blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.